The Tree of Love, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1815. Shenda brought her stallion into the stables, and as there was no groom to be seen, she rubbed him down. Then she patted him affectionately and walked out onto the cobbled yard. There was still no sign of the groom anywhere, and she thought he was doubtless in the kitchen talking to the cook about the funeral. She walked slowly, not into the house, but through the rhododendrons that led into the garden. The grass was green, and so many flowers were just coming into bloom. The birds were singing cheerfully overhead, but all Shenda could think about was that this was the end of her life as she knew it, the end of her home, the only one she had ever known. It seemed so incredible that everything could have changed so much since the beginning of the war. Her mother had died not long before the end of the Peninsula campaign, and she realized that she would have to look after her father, who had never been very strong. He had always relied on his wife for everything. Nobody could have dreamt that Lady Linbury, who had always been the spirit and inspiration of the whole county, could have died so suddenly. It was after an exceptionally bitter winter, and she had always been weak where her lungs were concerned. When she caught what was in fact a very bad attack of pneumonia, she refused to take her bed. She insisted on continuing to look after her husband and her daughter, as she had always done. When she could no longer move, see, or speak, she had reluctantly agreed to rest. But it was too late. The doctor could do nothing, and the nurse they had ordered for her arrived after she had actually passed away. To Shenda, it seemed quite impossible that her darling mama was no longer there for her. Everyone had always turned to her for help and advice, as she had always been an incredible tower of strength, not only to Linbury House, but also to the estate that had been in the family for generations. Now she was gone, and her loss would cause a great hole in the fabric of the place. Lady Linbury's system was old-fashioned in very many ways, but what did that matter? As Shenda's brother, Johnny, had said to her over and over again, "I will alter things and bring the estate up to date when I take over, but for the moment I am quite content to let Mama do everything she wants." It was not as if he was able to do much anyway, as being in the army, he could take very little leave. He had travelled abroad with the first contingent of Wellington's army on the outbreak of war. After he had landed in Portugal, it was impossible at first to hear from him at all, and then occasionally letters came through, yet invariably by the time they arrived, they were out of date. Therefore they had no idea where Johnny was, or, as his father sometimes said bitterly, if he is alive at all. Shenda had written to him when their mother died, but it was 2 months before she received an answer. When Johnny learned of his mother's death, he was, as Shenda expected, terribly upset by the news. "What will we do without her?" he wrote. "She was always the life and soul of the family, and I cannot imagine how you and Papa will cope now she is no longer there." It was exactly what Shenda was thinking herself. She could only write back to him and tell Johnny they were doing their best so that when he did return he would not be disappointed. Then the Battle of Waterloo came, and the whole of the country was in a wild state of excitement at the victory. But Johnny was one of those thousands of English soldiers who would never return. It was hearing that he had lost his only son, Shenda recognized, which had really killed her father. Losing her mother had been the blow that changed him into a withdrawn invalid, who seldom spoke and only ate when his daughter more or less forced him to do so. Shenda had always known her father was frail, but then one morning when the servant who usually called him came hurrying to her room,